Welcome to Faith in Corinth. This podcast is an extension of the Central Church located at 293 County Road 218 in Corinth, Mississippi. We hope and trust today's broadcast will bring you hope, encouragement, and insight from God's Word. And we ask you to like and share this podcast with those to whom you believe it will benefit. Again, thank you for joining us. Now, let's get into today's podcast. Praise God, and our faith is in Him. Amen. Romans chapter 8, starting in verse number 35, Paul penned these words, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded," Paul continues to say, "that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." This morning I want to preach to you on nothing. Now that doesn't mean we're not going to have a message. That just means that's the title of my message. Nothing. Everybody say nothing. Amen. God bless you and may be seated this morning. I certainly appreciate the persuasion in which Paul spoke with in regards to what he said in the book of Romans and the verses we just read. Amen. It was an unquenchable fire that burned within his spirit. Amen. When he said that, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but nothing shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'll be honest that I think one of the reasons why Paul could declare what he stated in these verses is because of his understanding of the very first verse of the same chapter. Because in the first verse, Paul addresses this first. He says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." And I believe that one of the reasons why Paul could unequivocally say, and with great fire burning in him, and with great passion, "Nothing is going to separate me from the love of God," is because of his understanding that condemnation, amen, is not present in the life of a child of God whose sins have been washed by the blood of the spotless Lamb. And the key of verse number one is not only realizing that there's now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, but I think one of the keys to that verse is what it says following, "who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." If you want to live a life above condemnation, you've got to learn to walk in the Spirit and in the flesh. Because, and I wish I had the time to go through the entire chapter, verse number 8, but time would not permit me, but it speaks to us emphatically about the importance of walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Because if you only learn to live for God, never having walking in the Spirit, your life in living for God will always be up and down. There will never be a steady walk with God, because if you're walking in the Spirit, amen, you have the mind of God that overcomes any invading thoughts that come from the adversary. And as quickly as the devil is able to remind you of past sins that have been forgiven, the Spirit of God that lives inside of you speaks up and says and reminds you it's no longer there. But it's hard to recognize and want to walk in the voice of the Spirit if you're not walking in the Spirit. Therefore, the enemy, we allow the adversary to have too much access into our life, our lifestyle, and our mindset if we are not walking in the Spirit. I would challenge the congregation today of the Central Church, make up in your mind that living for God is more than just clocking in and out on Sundays and Wednesdays. but it involves Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, 24/7. I'm going to walk with God. And so that's why Paul could say with that burning passion inside of him that nothing, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And then he says tribulation's not going to. Distress is not able to. Persecution doesn't have the ability, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. And then he goes on to say in verse number 37, he said, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded, he continues, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come. None of these things are going to be able to separate me from the love of God. I would speak to our fathers today and all parents in this house today that one of the greatest gifts you can give to your family is nothing. Let me say that again. I know some of you kids are squirming right now, but I got a birthday coming up. Evan was telling me this morning about an upcoming birthday that he has today. His birthday is today. We're going to have to make sure he gets to dig in the change jug today before he leaves. And so Evan's got a birthday, so he's saying, Pastor, now don't be telling my parents that the greatest gift they can give me today is nothing. I mean, it's my birthday. You know, Christmas is, believe it or not, just shortly around the corner, and we'll be here faster than we realize it. Amen. But understand the context of what I say today, that fathers and mothers, leaders in this church, the greatest gift you can give to your family is nothing, which means a nothing mindset. Nothing is going to keep me from walking with Jesus. Nothing is going to separate me from Him. No offense is going to stop me. When God says no, when I'm wanting a yes, it's not going to sidetrack me. Or when He says yes, when I want a no, amen, all of these things are not going to stop me. If things don't work out the way I want them to, or how I prayed for them to work out, nothing is going to stop me from learning and trusting and walking with Jesus. I would tell parents today, give your kids nothing today. Let them see through your life and your lifestyle. Maybe it doesn't matter what happens, if things are good or things are bad, if I'm rich or if I'm poor, if I'm sick or if I'm well, I want my kids to see in me that nothing is going to separate me from the love of God. Hallelujah. Nothing is. Nothing's going to separate me from my walk with God. Just as in any relationship, our love is going to be tested. Brother Jake was asking me the other day, and I don't know if he actually used this in preaching here or in Boonville, but he got to asking me about marriage vows. Amen. Part of those marriage vows in traditional wedding vows is in richer for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health. In other words, in good and in bad, I am committed to this vow that I am making with my spouse. When I got money, or if we don't have money, we're still staying together. When we have disagreements, we're still sticking together, because divorce is not going to be mentioned in our home. And we made that declaration before we were married, that divorce would never be mentioned in our home. Because if it's not mentioned, the only option you have is, baby, we may not see eye to eye right now, but we made a commitment to each other and to God that we're not going to separate and we're not going to divorce. So our only option is we're going to find a way to make it work. And that is the mindset that you and I must have in our relationship with God. In good or in bad, I'm committed to my relationship with Him. If I'm healed or if I'm not healed, my commitment to God still stands. Jesus told us that He would never leave us nor forsake us. And can I tell you, if that's what we expect from Him, I've come to inform you that's the same type of commitment He expects from us to Him. Is a nothing mindset. It doesn't matter what comes or what comes and what comes my way or what happens in life. My mind is made up. I'm going to serve Him. I'm going to trust Him. I'm going to love Him. even at times that I'm angry with God. Even when he tells me no when I want a yes, or tells me yes when I want a no. You know, it would have been easy for God to say, no, I really don't want you to go wash that guy's feet. That's what I wanted. But he told me a yes anyhow. And there's been other times that it worked vice versa. Times that I wanted a yes, that he told me a no. I can't sit here and lie to you today and say there's never been moments in my life that I was a little angry with God. I've told you about a season in life that I went through, and I'll never forget mowing on that side of the church, and it was muddy, and I got too deep into it before I realized what was going on, and it wasn't a prayer of faith. I got to be honest, it was a test I was putting towards God, that if you really love me, God, you can do anything. You won't let me get stuck right here. Now, some of you think that's not a big deal. I knew I was so far into it that my truck had a very strong possibility of getting stuck. And here I was going to have the lawnmower stuck, my truck stuck, and I don't handle that stuff very well. And guess what? I got stuck. Thankfully, my truck didn't get stuck because Brother Nooner happened to be driving by on a tractor and saw that I was stuck and help unpull me. But I'll never forget that moment. I was angry with God. It wasn't about getting stuck. It was about, God, why are you not answering seemingly any of my prayers? Why does it appear that I'm going through a season that everywhere, every turn I take, it's a no instead of a yes? It seems to be an unanswered prayer instead of an answered prayer. Instead of healing, it's sickness. And it appears that nothing is going my way right now. So I'm not going to sit up here and say that I've never been angry at God. But in those moments of being angry, and it grieves my heart to even think that I would think that way, but I want to be honest with you as well and transparent with you. But even in those moments of, amen, that things were going, adversity was coming my way, I still was able to say, God, regardless of how angry I feel right now, I'm not leaving you. I'm not throwing in the towel. I'm not saying quits. I made up my mind back in 1989, through every failure, through every sin, through every mistake, through every up and through every down, I'm committed to my relationship with God. And that's what God is looking for from fathers and mothers and children today, is a nothing mindset. Nothing is going to stop me or hinder me in my walk with God. How about Abraham and Isaac? Amen. Isaac was the promised child of Abraham. Ishmael, who was a son that he had with Hagar, his handmaiden, Sarah orchestrated the whole deal and then got mad when it worked out the way she had planned and cast Hagar out and Ishmael. But Isaac was the promised child to Abraham and Isaac, or to Abraham and Sarah. There came a time that testing was to be had. And the Lord told Abraham, I said, I want you to get up and I'll show you the place that I want you to go, but I want you to leave. I want you to take Isaac with you, and you're going to offer him as a burnt offering to me. I can't imagine the mindset that was going through that father that was filled with love for his child. But nonetheless, he takes Isaac the next day early in the morning. They pack up. A couple of servants go with them. And they pack up to go to a place that God would eventually show him. And somewhere on the journey, he looks to the servants and said, "You stay here. The lad and I are going to worship. And we will come back again." Amen. Whether it was just he was just speaking, or whether he was really speaking in faith, amen, he said, "The lad and I are going to come back again." They journey up the mountain. Finally, Isaac says, "Daddy, we've got the wood and the fire, but we don't have a sacrifice." And again, Abraham almost, if not prophetically, speaks and says, "The Lord will prepare himself a sacrifice." They make the journey up to that mountain. The altar is built. Then Daddy looks at his son and says, "Boy, I want you to climb up here on this altar." And Isaac climbs up on the altar. And Abraham gets his knife and about to slay his son. It was a test of love. Do you love me to go to the extreme? Now, we know that God would have never really made him go through with it. Amen. But Isaac, laying there on that altar, then all of a sudden when he takes his knife out, the Lord has to speak his name twice because he was so intent on doing the will of God. Abraham, Abraham, stop. There's a ram caught in the thicket. Now I know that you love me more than anything. Can I tell you that there will be times that our love for God is going to be tested. Hey man, I don't trust him just when things make sense. I want to trust him when things do not make sense. How things developed in Job's life doesn't make sense. Didn't make sense to him. Didn't make sense to his wife. And to be honest, it doesn't make sense to us. Why don't you curse God and die? That's what his wife said. And if you know anything about the life of Job, we can't even fathom the conflict in his spirit that was taking place. The sadness and sorrow that he was going through at that moment. Well, you do know that he was given twice as much at the end than what he had, but it still doesn't take away the fact that he had to go through the loss to get the gain. Still doesn't remove the pain, the anguish that he had to endure and go through. But Job's mind was made up that I'm going to hold on in spite of everything that's taking place. In Genesis chapter number 22, I'm sorry, chapter 28 in verse number 20 through 22, Jacob was a man of God. Now, we do know that there were times in his life he didn't do things exactly right. But the Bible says this in Genesis 28, 20 through 22, and Jacob vowed a vow saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on so that I will come again to my father's house in peace. Then shall the Lord be my God, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and all that thou shalt give me will I surely give to the tenth unto thee. We know that there were moments of tremendous victory in Jacob's life. Valor, strength is portrayed through his life, but we also know that in his early years there were things that weren't very godly or very wholesome at all. But notice what Jacob said, and as much as I revere Jacob as being a man of God and seeing what God did to him in and through his life, I don't like what he said to God. Because he said, if thou will be with me, and if you'll keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house, then shall the Lord be my God. He was putting requirements on God. God, if you'll do this, I'll serve you. Now, God, if you'll provide for me and give me raiment to put on and bread to eat, then I will walk in your path. Can I just tell you, that's not the mindset that God is looking for from us. I think he is desiring from all of us a nothing mindset. God, even if you don't answer this prayer, I'm still going to trust you. Now, I know these things are a lot easier to preach than to live out. But in spite of how difficult it is, if you and I can develop a mindset, because everybody's got a price tag. But if we can make up in our mind right now and vow to ourselves and vow to God, Lord, I'm going to serve you even when life doesn't make sense. I'm going to serve you. I'm telling you, the better place, amen, the better we're going to be. Do not place conditions on serving God. Just don't do it. You see, we can't serve him based on loaves and fishes. Well, God, as long as you provide the miracle, then I'll serve you. As long as you're working out every problem and every difficulty in life, then I'll serve you. if our relationship with God is based on loaves and fish, we're never going to make it. But when we develop the mindset that God, even if you don't answer this prayer, I'm still going to, because I don't understand. I don't know the ways of God. And brothers and sisters, you and I will never understand the mind of the ways of God. His ways are far beyond ours. But my mind, I want my mind to be made up. I'm going to serve him until I die. Jesus didn't give John the Baptist the answer he was looking for. John sent one of his disciples to Jesus, and John is in prison. John was the forerunner of Christ. He went out before him, preparing the way of the Lord. But he sends one of his disciples to Jesus and said, "Are you really him? Are you really the Savior, or have I wasted my time? Have I been deceiving myself and deceiving others by pointing to you as the Savior?" Because in John's mind, why would I be in this condition? Why would I be in prison? Why would I be in the shape that I'm in right now if you really are the Savior? His disciple goes, and I know I'm preaching a very difficult message this morning. I understand that. But I'm going to tell you something. The devil is he's an avid hunter. And he watches every one of us. And if there's space in us that says, if this doesn't happen or if this happens, I won't serve God, the adversary will move and work to try to get that arranged in your life so that you will be lost. They go to Jesus. "Jesus, we've been sent by your friend. Are you really the Christ, or should we look for another?" And Jesus never said, "You tell him, yes, I am." He didn't do that. Jesus turned without an answer and began to open blinded eyes, cause lame legs to walk, unstop deaf ears. And then he goes back to the disciples and said, "You tell him what you've seen." Now, I'm going to be honest, that probably wouldn't have put John in the best of attitudes. "I want to know if you're Christ, and instead of delivering me from prison, you do all these other miracles for everybody else while I sit here in my condition." I say this every time I preach it, but it's how I envision it in my mind's eye. As Jesus turns to go one way and the disciples turn to go another way, it's almost like Jesus wheels around and says, "Guys, hold on. If you forget to tell him about the miracle, if you forget to tell him about Leroy over here that his legs are now walking, if you forget to tell him about so-and-so and his eyes being opened," he said, "if you forget about all the miracles and the signs in the world, you tell John, you make sure to give John this bit of advice. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." You tell John, I know it doesn't make sense, but you just tell him, "Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." Ephesians 4:27 says, "Neither give place or give opportunity to the devil." We've got to make sure that we close every door, that we give access to the adversary into our life to destroy us. And part of that is not putting conditions on God. Part of that is just saying, "God, I trust you. I trust you." Doesn't mean that we don't understand it all. It means that there's going to be times we won't understand it all. The old song says, "By and by, we'll understand it better. By and by." There's going to come a time that God may reveal to you on the streets of gold, and he stops you and says, "Let me answer the question that you've held all these years. This is why it had to work out the way it did. I want to have enough relationship with God that I have a nothing mindset. I'm going to serve him. I'm going to serve him." Let's stand together this morning. In Hebrews chapter number 11, And verse number 39, it says, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. This is the hall of fame of faith in Hebrews chapter number 11, where many people are spoken about, and the wonderful works that they did or God did through them. But then it says, these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not. You see that there were some that were listed in Hebrews 11 that did not see the fulfillment of the promise. But the Bible said, even though they did not receive the fulfillment of the promise, they're listed in the Hall of Fame of Faith because they obtained a good report in faith. You know why they obtained a good report in faith? Because they remained faithful even when things didn't make sense or when things didn't work out the way they thought they would. They remained faithful and they were counted worthy. They obtained a good report. A good report. Ephesians chapter number 6 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And then he says in verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about you with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. In that evil day, having done all to stand, stand. Don't bail ship. Don't get out of the church. I'm going to stand. Winds are blowing. And I know the adversary as he speaks to me. You better be careful what you're preaching, because you may be soon having to live what you're preaching. I sure hope it doesn't happen. But if it does, I want to be able to crawl to where I am, back to this pulpit, and preach to you. I'm going to stay in there. I'm going to keep loving God. I'm going to tell you, I want my refuge to be the altar. I can't tell you how many times that, in anguish of soul and being crushed in a million pieces, that my flesh wanted to curse God and die. My flesh wanted to say, I'm just going to tell you, I don't care if I ever preach again. And I'm not trying to pin roses on myself, and God help me to continue to do this, but in every broken moment, I've crawled my way back to the altar. And I've poured myself out in honesty. God, I don't understand why this is happening. I don't understand why I'm going through what I'm going through, but God, I'm not going anywhere. I may not want to preach Sunday. And I've been there. There's been times I've had people preach for me, not because I was sick, because I just didn't have it in me. But somewhere or another, I'm going to crawl back into that pulpit. And I'm going to preach healing when I didn't get healed or somebody I love didn't get healed. And I'm going to preach that God's going to make a way when things didn't work out the way I wanted them to. Because I want to continue that mindset. Nothing. 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 You know, David wasn't a perfect man. But four times he declared this phrase, "My heart is fixed." In other words, my heart is established or set firm. No, I've not been a perfect man, but the defining moments in his life is each time he fell down, he picked himself back up and continued walking with God. I'm not going to let sin destroy me. I'm not going to let mistakes destroy me. I'm not going to let my past destroy me. I'm not, nor things present, nor things to come, nor things in the past. I'm not going to let it destroy me. I'm going to hang on. I'm going to trust Him. And I'm going to have that mindset, God being my helper, nothing, nothing, nothing is going to stop me. When things happen that I don't understand, or when things happen, and they will, when things happen that seem to be unfair, I remind you and I implore you today, let your refuge be the altar. Not with some carnal person in the church who's going to help destroy you. Not with someone who doesn't know what it is to pray and to really walk with God, that all they do is attend services, and that's not the person to confide in. Go find you somebody that you believe in, that you know walks with God. Let them speak life into you. Let them speak hope into you. Be transparent with them, but let them be transparent with you, and be transparent with God. Don't try to hide it from God. Don't try to hide it from God. God, I'm hurting. God, I'm in pain. My spirit is crushed. And He may not give you an answer right then. There's things that I still don't have an answer to. But in my crippled condition, and by God's help, I've been able to stumble my way back to the house of God, or fall in my chair at my home and call out to God, God, please help me. Driving down the road, perplexed in my spirit, screaming to the top of my lungs, God, don't you understand? But I'm here today. I'm here today because I've had a nothing mindset. I'm not stopping. I'm not quitting. He's been too good to me. He's offered me life and joy and peace in eternity in living with Him. And I'm not going to throw in the towel and put my soul in jeopardy to die lost without God. I'm just not going to do it. I'm just not going to do it. I'm just not going to do it. So, folks, don't let drugs be your downfall. Don't let alcohol be your downfall. Don't let adultery or fornication be your downfall. Don't let pornography be your downfall. Don't let pride be your downfall. Don't let gossip be your downfall. Don't let lying and cheating and stealing be your downfall. Make up in your mind, I'm going to serve Him. I'm going to serve Him. Whatever's got to be changed in me, brother, I'm going to let God change it. Because I'm going to stay in the church. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to live for God. Hallelujah. I'd like for you to gather with me around the altars this morning. I want you to pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. Hallelujah. I know we've just come back from camp and shouting and good times in Jesus. But I feel like God gave me this message the week of junior camp. I feel like God deposited these things into my spirit, and I've written them down. I'll be honest, I didn't have a lot of time to study the week of senior camp, but God was so gracious to talk to me during junior camp. And I have delivered to you what I felt back then to preach in this service today. Make up in your mind. Make up in your mind. Failure is not going to be final. I'm going to get up from where I am. Questions that I have, things that don't make sense. Times when it feels like I've been treated unfair. Offense is not going to destroy me. Offense is not going to destroy me. I'm going to claw my way out of this. And I'm going to let God bring wholeness to me. Hear me? I'm going to let God bring wholeness to me. Everything that the circumstance that took away some faith or took away some trust, I pray that God would give you wholeness today. I pray now in Jesus' name that He would give you wholeness right now. That faith would be, I speak in the name of Jesus Christ, that faith would be restored back to you. Stretch forth that withered hand. God, I allow this to destroy my faith or to diminish my faith, but I want my faith. I don't want it just to be healed. I want it to be restored. Restore my faith. Because God, I've not been able to look at recent storms and speak faith in spite of them. But God, I want that faith restored to me. I want wholeness to be brought to me. That now that I can look at any storm that comes my way and say, storm, I see you. I know you're there, but you're not going to devour me. You're not going to kill me. And you start binding, rebuking in faith again. And you start believing for those that are sick again. When people didn't get healed, that you prayed for God to heal. The adversary says, you better not pray again. You know God's not going to hear you. You know it's not going to happen. I'm going to tell you something. I pray that something wells up within your spirit right now, that you'll find somebody that's sick in their body and start praying in faith. I declare in the name of Jesus Christ that God's going to heal them. That restoration and wholeness come right now. Let restoration and wholeness come right now. You know what he said to the one leper. 10 came to him and said, you know, would you heal me? And he said, go show yourself to the priest. They ran, and in the journey from running to where Jesus was to the priest, they were healed of their leprosy. One looked back and said, my leprosy's gone. But he went back to Jesus and said, Lord, I just want to thank you for what you did. The others were only healed. This man was made whole. In other words, everything that leprosy had rotted off, whether it was a finger, whether it was the nose or a toe, God instantly restored back to him what was lost. Would you close your eyes right now, and would you raise your hands to heaven? I feel the Spirit of God in this place. I pray and declare wholeness right now to come over this body of believers.